This is 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 to 11. Hannah's prayer of praise. Then Hannah prayed, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you rescued me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Stop being so proud and haughty. Don't speak with such arrogance. The Lord is a God who knows what you have done. He will judge your actions. The bow of the mighty is now broken, and those who stumbled are now strong. Those who were well fed are now starving, and those who were starving are now full. The childless woman now has 7 children, and the woman with many children wastes away. The Lord gives both death and life. He brings some down to the grave and raises others up. The Lord makes some poor and others rich. He brings some down and lifts others up. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. He sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. For all the earth is the Lord's, and he has set the world in order. He will protect his faithful ones, but the wicked will disappear in darkness. No one will succeed by strength alone. Those who fight against the Lord will be shattered. He thundered against them from the heaven. The Lord judges throughout the earth. He gives power to his king. He increases the strength of his anointed one." Then Elkanah returned home to Ramah without Samuel, and the boy served the Lord by assisting Eli the priest.
Oh, thank you, Clive. I was just wondering how I could get rid of that at the same time. Thank you, Shannon, for reading that so well. I wonder, have you ever thought what it's like to be a minister of a church? Have you ever thought that, well, it's a fairly easy job? Now, when I first felt the call into ministry and I was sharing it with some of my friends, I can't remember exactly who it was, but I had one really annoying friend, only one, right? And he always his jibe was, well, if you become a minister, you only work one day a week. My retort to him was always this: but I have to work on Christmas Day. But the point is, being a minister exposes you to lots of issues that people are dealing with, because if you're the minister of a church, people will come and talk to you and say, "I've got a problem with this, I've got a problem with that," and et cetera, et cetera. And over these last few months, when I've been working more with... I'm not the minister of this church, in case you're worried, in case you're a visitor. We haven't got a minister at the moment. We are in the process of looking for one. I'm a retired Baptist minister. That's what my description is. Recently, as I've been working with Chris on the pastoral care issues, you get to know more of what's going on in people's lives, and people have talked to me and everything. And sometimes when you're preparing a message for the Sunday, you come to something and you think, I can't say that. If I say that, so-and-so, that's stepping on their toes, or that they might take that in the wrong way and everything. And you can get yourself caught in this trap that you end up preaching a sermon that the people want to hear instead of preaching the word that God wants to give you. And I'm saying all that because there are certain issues that may come out today which you find difficult, or, you know, you struggle with a little bit. And that's, it's not okay, but it is okay, if you see what I mean. Because I think it's good to think about things. But if there is something that comes up, then, you know, please let's talk about it and let's pray about it and let's share it. Let's work it through together. I haven't got all the answers. I haven't got many at all, right? But we struggle in that journey together. Now, I just want to do something that which you may think is a bit silly, and you'll forgive me because you'll like that, and you'll bear with me, and you'll see how it fits in, right? But there's just a couple of questions that I want to pose. Don't call out any answers, right? Can you put your hand up, though, if when you came into the building this morning and before you sat in your chair, you tested it to make sure that it was strong enough to hold your weight? Did anybody do that? No. Right? All right. Many of us have been on an aeroplane, haven't we? At some point. Not recently, probably. When the last time you went on an aeroplane, did anybody climb up the steps or anything, or the walkway across? Did you then go straight into the pilot's cockpit and demand to see his certificate that he's got to say that he could fly the plane? Anybody do that? No? No? Well, tomorrow morning at 9:30, I've got to go and see the dentist, right? Now, do you think when I get into the dentist, I should not sit in the chair? I should say to my dentist, show me the proof that you know what you're doing before I'm going to open my mouth and let you go in there. Do you think I should do that? Yeah. Divided, some opinion. And yesterday we caught the train to Corfe, and then we caught the bus back from Corfe for a bit of an outing. Janet wanted to go out, you know. When we got on the bus, and I showed my special card to the bus driver, which gets me a free bus journey, should I have asked the bus driver to see his qualifications for driving that bus? Because it then goes all the way up to Kingston, and all across the top and down through Langton, and it's really tight down there, isn't it? And I'm sitting there, goodness me, how's he going to get this bus through? And it was great. Should I have asked the driver to see his license? No. The question I want to ask is, in all those things, we trust what's going to happen. Why do we sometimes struggle to trust God? Just park that in the back of your mind. But the verse that really sang out to me from the reading that Shannon read is verse 9, where Hannah says, "He will protect his faithful ones." He will protect his faithful ones. Now, let's just set the scene to this. I'm sure you know the story, but let's just refresh it in our minds. So this is going back over what's in chapter 1, briefly. We've got Elkanah, who's got two wives, right? Hannah and Peninnah. And he loves them both. And Peninnah has given him children. And that really is happy. But for some reason, we don't know why, Hannah has not been able to give him a son or a daughter. And she feels that burden upon her, that she should be providing that for him. And we get the impression that Peninnah's not been particularly nice about it, and she's sort of goading her a little bit. But that's what happened. And then as we go through that chapter, we read the account of Hannah going up to the temple at Shiloh and seeking the Lord for a child. And she makes this sort of arrangement with God. And of course, Eli is watching her at this particular point, and her lips are moving, but no words are coming out, and Eli thinks she's drunk. And when he challenges her, she explains to him the situation. Now, it's interesting what Eli then does, because he says to her, the God of Israel has granted your request. Why did he say that? How did he know that the God of Israel was going to grant her request? And it raises questions in my mind, you know, can we do a sort of bargain with God? If you do this for me, I'll do this for you. Do you know what I mean? Is that the right way? Is that the way for God to answer our prayers? I don't think so. It's just interesting to explore this. And it raises up for me a question that nobody yet has so far asked in our study on prayer. And that is, what about unanswered prayer? Is there such a thing as unanswered prayer? Do you know where the greatest example of an unanswered prayer is? Some people say the Bible's got nothing to say about unanswered prayer. But there is one prayer in the Bible that was unanswered. You all look very blank, right? It was in the Garden of Gethsemane. where Jesus prayed. You've got it. Father, if there's another way, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done. That's a big question that I've thrown out today. It may be a question that you want to explore more in your life groups. It could well come up. It may be a question that you want to talk about. It could well come. But it's good to talk about this. If you ask me the question, I don't know the answer. I know that God always hears our prayers. And he answers them in the way that is best for us. Because he loves us and he cares for us. But then after that, we get into Hannah's prayer. And if you think about Hannah's situation, here she is. She'd got no child. She'd prayed to God. She'd given birth to a child. Great. God had answered her. Now, Peninnah couldn't make any fun of her because she'd had a child as well. And yet she has made this arrangement with God that she would dedicate this child to God. And she takes the child back to Shiloh and to leave him with Eli the priest. And this is the prayer that she prays going back home. Now, if it was you, what would you be praying? And be honest. Would you be praying what Hannah prayed? Or would you be walking home with tears streaming down your cheeks that you've left that child that God had blessed you with in the temple? It's a challenge, isn't it? And what I did when I first read this, I got hold of a piece of paper. We've had these for ages knocking around. And I jotted down in the on the back of this all the words that sprang out to me from this prayer of positivity that we can remember and we can give thanks for to our Lord, our God. And there's loads of them. I did think about putting them up on the screen and saying, right, we'll go through each one in turn, but I think you might walk out before we, because we'd be here for a long time. All I want to do is just pick out a couple of them and just to reflect on them in the time that's left to us. And the first thing, the first words that leaped out to me in this list all begin with the letter R. So that's easy to remember. So it's rejoice, rescued, and rock. Rejoice, rescued, and rock. And here, the first thing she comes up with, really, in this prayer, is she's rejoicing. She's giving thanks to God, you know? And so often, when we come in prayer, we can start with the moans. Or we can start with the pleas. We start with the things that we need. Let's pray for those who are unwell. Yeah, that's right. That's good. I'm not saying anything against that. But where do we start? You know, if we go back to the Lord's Prayer, how does that start? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It starts with praise. Hallowed be your name. And we need to start with rejoicing. Look at when we were driving back, when we were driven back, rather, on the bus from Corfe yesterday. We were up on the top of a double-decker bus. And, you know, that top row there, it's a fantastic view. And you realise this lovely place in which we live and all the creation that God has given us to enjoy. And it's marvellous. We caught the train up and you're seeing, you know, the animals. That we saw the deers and the... Is it the alpacas out of Harmon's Cross? Are the alpacas all llamas? Alpacas. Right, out of Harmon's Cross. You can see all the beauty of God's creation and everything that we've got to give thanks for. And then he's rescued us. By Jove, we need rescuing. We just sang Amazing Grace, didn't we? What a wonderful, wonderful hymn. He rescued us by his cross. He's rescued us and restored us and renewed us and given us new life. And then you've got this word rock. And you've got is it a song? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You know, you've got that story that Jesus tells of the two men who build the house, and one on the sand and one on the rock. You know, if you build a sandcastle that on the seashore with your grandchildren, you know, and then if you build it too near the sea, the tide comes in and it washes it all away. All that hard work, and it's just washed away. Or you build one, and then another kid comes along and jumps on it. You know, and you spent all that time on all that work, and they've just jumped on it and flattened it. But Christ is the solid rock. There's a lovely picture, I'm sure you've seen it, of a lighthouse, a really strong, sturdy built lighthouse. And the man is standing at the door of the lighthouse, and the waves are battering away at this lighthouse. But the rock on which the lighthouse stands is firm. And that's a picture. And that's obviously often got that text on the bottom of it, that he is our rock. But then, secondly, he sets the world in order. And he does. Now, if you look around the world today, it's in a right mess. You know, I often get up early in the morning and have a quiet time, and then I put the news on, and I put the BBC breakfast news on. Well, you listen to it for half an hour, and then it often just rolls around the stories, don't you? And I get to the point where you think, I can't take any more, you know, because occasionally there is a really good, positive story, but often it's sad and it's bad. You know, you've had all the pictures of Ukraine and what's going on there, you know, and then, you know, as time goes on, things disappear, but the things in that country are still bad. In Afghanistan, in Sudan, in Jordan, Iraq, Iran, China. But what we need to remember, that he has everything in his hands, even our life and even our death. And he judges us and he keeps us safe. But lastly, she says here that you are holy. And I think that's a marvellous thing. That chapter in Isaiah, chapter 6, when Isaiah goes into the temple that the year that King Uzziah died, and he encounters God Almighty. You don't have to go into the temple to encounter God Almighty. You don't have to come into the church to encounter God Almighty. You can encounter God Almighty walking on the front at Swanage. You can encounter God Almighty walking on Nine Barrow Down. You can encounter a God wherever you are. There is no place that God is not. Corrie ten Boom said that after her time in Ravensbrück concentration camp, and where she'd sunk to the lowest depths, and she said that there is not a pit deep enough, that God is not deeper still. He is still there with us. And he is with us. Isaiah encountered God in the temple, and he said, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, because he'd encountered the holy God. And God reached out and touched him. And he will rescue us. You know, he rescued the people as they went through the Red Sea. And he's rescued people time and time and countless occasions. There was an illustration only recently that I was listening to of how he rescued the British army from Dunkirk. On that night, he created the weather so that the boats were able to get the army off and get them back safely and sound. He protects his faithful ones. Remember that. He protects his faithful ones. Not how we would imagine, perhaps, but in the best way forward. Just want to think on these for just a moment. We need to pray, and we need to pray more. But we need to pray in a right way. We need to be real in our praying. God doesn't really want big words. We can use big words. But God wants us just to talk to him. The second thing is that he wants us to be honest. One of the most annoying things about being a minister was sometimes you were going to ask to see somebody and you walk in and you know that they got problems and issues and you'd say something very careful and say something like, how are things? Oh yes, they're fine. And then my favourite line was to look at them in the eye. I said, now tell me the truth. Why are you flannelling around? Tell me the truth. Tell me how it feels. Be honest. Be real. Be honest. Be compassionate. Because he loves us. And he loves you. Every one of us. And the last one, I think, is one of the most important ones and the ones that we don't often do and we forget. And that is, be ready to listen. Some people say to me, God never talks to me. And what I usually say back to them, yes, do you ever listen? Do you ever listen? Do you ever spend time just listening? And I think that is a key element in our walk and our witness to him. It's the challenge. Be real, be honest, be compassionate, be ready to listen. Let's just be quiet for a moment, shall we? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your power and your presence and all that you've done for us and are going to do for us. Just help us, Father, we pray, as we seek to draw nearer to you and enjoy more of what you have in store for each and every one of us. For we ask this in your name. Amen.